Slip your hand up. Let me say it's good to be back in Pennsylvania. I don't like California. I did that when I was 18 years old. We drove over there, and I thought I'm going to love California. And to be honest with you, we went all the way. We drove all across the lower part of the country, and we had been kind of up toward the northern side. We came right back down through the middle of the country. And then when I got back home, I was 18 years old. And says, no place like home. I clicked my red shoes and said, no. I says, no place like home. I like it in Carroll County. And that's really one of the reasons why I was so hungry to go into ministry. I didn't want to leave Carroll County. Didn't want to leave this area. But anyway, it's good to be home. And the traffic, oh my soul. You know what they do out there? They have three lanes of traffic on each side. But you're allowed to park in the lane that's closest to the curb. But it's a real lane. It's a lane. You've got all this lane. And you think, okay, I got my turn and come up here in about a mile and a half or something. I'm going to work my way over to get into that lane. And just about time you get to your turn, there's a car parked there. And you watch all the cars go past you as you're trying to get back out in the lane to get around this one car so you can make your turn. And I went three blocks to get some things at a Lowe's. We were setting up for the reception. And I think it took me 20 minutes. Of course, 15 minutes was at McDonald's getting a sweet tea. But it took me 20 minutes. Anyway, Luke chapter 11, if you will, please. And let me pray first. And I'm going to try to get past some of these things and kind of read this as we go. This is about a third shot at this thing here. And so let's pray first. And Lord willing, we'll finish up this thought tonight. All right, let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your blessings. Again, Lord, I thank you for speaking to our hearts, and I thank you the way you watch over us. And Lord, I thank you for speaking to us. And Lord, you know, if I were you, so I think I'd get so fed up with us, I would just forget us and leave us alone. But Lord, you don't do that. You've begun a good work, and you're faithful, and you'll continue to work until the day we see you face to face. And Lord, I guess if it's possible to frustrate God, I'm sure we frustrate you. But, Lord, I thank you for your love and for your mercy and for your grace and your forgiveness. And, Lord, I thank you that we don't have, you keep working, keep us, get us as far about the muck and the mire as we can. So, Lord, I just thank you so much for all that you're doing. Be with the service tonight. Speak to our hearts from your word. We ask for your Holy Spirit. And, Lord, we need you in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Now, we're talking about hypocrites. Let me say something first here. A hypocrite is someone who acts. He's acting like something he's not. I'll get your number. I'll get you where we are here in a little bit. But he's acting as something that he's not. There's an awful lot of Christians who act a certain way, but they're really not. Christian actors. Some people, I think, are posing as Christians. They're not Christians at all. But I also think Christians, also, we're not careful. We have a way of trying to appear righteous and sanctified. And we may be saved, positionally sanctified, going to heaven, off of the list is going to hell, and on the list is going to heaven. But I think sometimes we're not necessarily all that grown up, and we act like something, and we try to put on a good face. But the fact is, just like it says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the good treasure, good fruit. Out of the bad treasure, bad fruit. Depends on what kind of treasures you have down there. You know what I'm saying? And eventually, like I said, a multitude of words. In a multitude of words, the Bible says there wanteth not sin. In other words, you just kind of keep giving out until you have nothing left but the dregs at the bottom of the barrel. Before long, stuff starts coming out in our mouth. But sometimes stuff comes out in our actions, in our deeds, that was hidden down there. We didn't know it was there. I told you this years ago. I went to a secular college. And knowing that was the case, and knowing they didn't read the Bible, and going in saying, okay, I'm going to go in, I'm going to get my music degree. It was classical music. It wasn't rock and roll. I mean, it was good. It was music. It wasn't anything that was wrong. And I get my music degree and get out. And try not to let any of it stick to me any more than necessary. And I remember Janet and I were going to play for during a Christmas banquet for a dear man down an open door. He owned a Christian man, a business owner, and he had a Christmas banquet for his people and wanted me to go in there and sing and so forth. And we were going up to Dandy Restaurant. I don't know where it used to be. It's over kind of, I don't know. It's up the country a little ways there. But anyway, we're going to a place called Dandy Restaurant. And we had a minivan. I was going to use my my electric guitar. I know it sounds worse than it was, but I was finger picking just so I didn't have to use a microphone. And I was going to sing, and I had to have my amp and everything in the back of my van. And so since it was all in the van, we said, well, let's just all ride up together. And it would seat seven folks. And so I had the boss and his wife and so forth, and another couple. And Jan and I, we were going up the road, and we did our thing. We came back down the road, and it was a beautiful night, looked up the stars. And I don't remember now what exactly I said, but I thought it was very profound. And everybody just got quiet. Now, these were folks who were Christians for a long time and just got very quiet. They were all saying these little things, and I thought, well, I'm going to chime in. I'm going to say a little something, too, and it just got quiet on me. So I'm thinking, well, what did I say? Sounded good to me. And of course, in the middle of the night, you go to bed, and you lay in the bed, and what did I say? And then it hit me. What I said made a lot of sense except for one thing. There was one basis of what I said that assumes evolution. Now, I'm not an evolutionist, never was an evolutionist. But there was something that just kind of stuck on me. And the fact is, we had a lot of conversation. After a while, something's going to come out and is going to reveal what we are. That's kind of what I'm talking about here. There are some things in here that may show us that we're not maybe as pure in our thoughts and pure in our desires and pure in our life as we think we are. That frankly, we may be putting on a good show, whether on purpose or not. You know, sometimes we put on a show because we're so used to putting on a show, we don't think about putting on a show. It just becomes who we are. And we realize that we're not exactly all that we say that we are. A hypocrite is someone who's trying to present himself as a Christian, but actually making much of the wrong things. Are we walking with God, or are we walking with the world? And these things we're talking about can be indicators. Now, real quick, number one, it's on your paper already. Hypocrites are impressed with temporal things. It says, as he spake, a certain Pharisee besought him to dine with him, and he went in and sat down, and he says he started to talk to him about washing your hands. Little details. Letter B, was a hypocrite's an actor? Letter C, hypocrites make much of man and not much of God and Jesus. But let's just say it this way. In comparison, we spend a lot more time thinking about man's wisdom. Other things. Letter D, we talk about hypocrites are big respecters of person, more than they are maybe a respecter of God. Hypocrites are impressed with men. They have a manly perspective. But the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. All those things. But if you go to Matthew 6:31 and 32, which is right before 6:33, which says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, it says, you're seeking all these things that the Gentiles seek. In other words, you're worried about where your next meal's going to come from. Well, the Gentiles are like that. Why not? Why are they like that? They don't have God. They don't have the trust that He's their Heavenly Father. They're all worried about trying to get into some kind of position. They're worried about what are we going to wear? What are we going to eat? So that's the problem. Maybe. Now see, there's a promise. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. He says the Gentiles think like that. Now, that's really hard on us because the fact is there's a lot of us Christians who have one time or another probably thought that way. Well, you have to. I don't know where the next meal is going to come from. Well, the promise of God is seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added on you. Take no thought what you're going to eat or what you're going to put on. What's that mean? It says don't sit there and worry about that. Do what God has asked you to do, even if it means to walk around Jericho for seven times. You know what I'm saying? Do what He says. And so number two, number one was hypocrites are impressed with men. Hypocrites are impressed with the style of their clothes. Hypocrites are impressed with worldly position. Hypocrites are impressed with worldly education because they think it's more valuable. Why? Because man has put his endorsement on it. Well, man must know more because they're really smart. You know what? When we do that, it's almost like we want to say we believe in God, but we live as if He's really not real. You got to be careful with this. Hypocrites are impressed with that confident attitude, that demeanor. Listen, you ever see all these rock stars? you know, they got this attitude. And I think, who wants to live like? I have never watched the show, but I've seen too many commercials of Empire and Star. They almost make me sick. I hope you're not watching that stuff because it's all about attitude. It's wicked, wicked, wicked. I saw an I buzzed by. I forget what it was on a TV on the news or something. They were interviewing one of these stars, that one lady there, and she said, "Well, we're reflecting real life." I'm glad that's not the life I'm living in. Oh my soul, that's real life. No wonder these people are on drugs. No wonder these people are killing each other. No wonder they're depressed. No wonder. Oh my soul. They don't have to live like it's a whole different world, all the demeanor. And there's a church that back in the 80s was one of the best churches in America, who now has a university that's not anything like it started out to be. And I get stuff all the time from them about bringing our teens down to their winter fest, and there they got these people. They're supposed to be Christian. No joy, no love. Listen, I don't want my kids to look like that. They look like the world, and they sure don't look happy. Sorry. Hypocrites are impressed with social status. Now, you can put this in the margin, but I don't want to spend a lot of time, but Matthew 20, 25 through 28 talks about how the Gentiles are fighting for dominion. And he says, listen, you want to be chief? Be servant of all. See, that's a different attitude. You see, only by pride cometh contention. And I'll tell you, there's been a lot of churches all over the world for hundreds of years that have split because of contention, and the contention is pride because they're struggling for power. Well, you're not listening to me. Now, they may be a Christian, and they may try, and they may even, so many times, folks, it's like they come to fist to cuffs, and they both claim to be standing on the Word of God. Well, maybe they are standing on. Maybe they ought to read a little once in a while. Stand on, so I'm just a little higher than you are. I mean, the fact is, you got to be careful with this thing here. We claim to be Christians, but we're not. Number two, hypocrites are impressed with man's thoughts. Man's thoughts and traditions become more than law. Number three, we ended with last week, signs of hypocrisy. Signs of hypocrisy, making the public appearance top priority. Listen, we're worried about what they think, because what we're going to do is we're going to climb this ladder on the support of people. We're going to climb this ladder on the lifting up that some people are going to help me make my next step. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. I'm going to stand on this person, going to get up, or I'm going to smooze this guy and smooze that guy. Listen, you know, you can't make it in the world here. The next step is to, I know a good young man used to go here, and he doesn't go here anymore, but that's not the point. He quit his job because the next step in his job was to be one of those folks that takes the people out, the clients out, and wines and dines them. And liquor was, and got in trouble with his boss because he wasn't willing to drink liquor with the rest of them. And he'd rather quit his job. That's a good man. God will honor that. God will honor that. I guarantee you. So, well, he's not going to get it. But see, hypocrites says it's more important for us to have something, you know, with what they see. If I'm not, how are you going to make it? If they don't, that person's going to promote me. The Lord puts in power. He rises kings up and he puts kings down. He has the one who has the power to give wealth. And so we've been through all that. Then letter B, it says, but rather give alms of, verse 41 there, 3B, says, rather give alms of such things as ye have, and behold, all things are clean unto you. That little phrase is stuck in there. That word alms means to have compassion, means to have mercy, means to have love. So the letter B, the word is making our public actions priority. A hypocrite makes the public actions priority. Verse 42 says, but woe unto you Pharisees, for ye tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass over judgment and love of God. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. In other words, we think we're clean before God because we do our duty of tithing. Now you should do that. And God blesses that. Go back to Malachi 3. That's true. But he says, I tithe. He says, well, that's good. You should do that. But the fact is, you're miserable to everybody else. You tithe, but you have no compassion. You have no love. He says, "What you know what you want to do? You need to sacrifice. You think you're sacrificing to God by giving your tithe. Watch, he says, but rather give alms of such things as ye have, that ye possess, and behold, all things are clean unto you. But woe to you, Pharisees, for ye tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass over judgment and love of God. These ought ye have done, not leave the other nations. Well, how can I tithe them if I don't have them? Oh, you have them. By the way, where did they get them? Where do they get the things that they have to tithe? Ah, so you see, the tithe belongs to the Lord. Now, if I don't give my tithe, I'm stealing from God. Well, do you steal from God? Malachi 3. No, we're going to give your tithe. But watch, we think we're going to get a big pat on the back because we gave God back what he owns. Tithe what you have. What's that? Sacrifice yourself. Forgive somebody. Stop going around there and trying to push yourself around. Give have compassion on somebody and give out of stuff that you own. The tithe is the Lord's. How about give them $10 out of your 90% instead of trying to use God's 10% to do this? Huh? Have compassion on somebody. So that's what Christ like. Well, he said, well, I won't have enough for myself. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added on you. Now, I wouldn't go out and give just anybody money. In fact, to tell the truth, if someone shows up here looking for food, looking for a problem, if they need gas, we'll take them down and put gas in the pot. We're not going to give them money. So why is that? Because they'll use it for the wrong thing. You know, whatever. I don't know what they might use it for, but probably not the right thing. But if they need gas, we can help them out with some gas. Need some food, we'll help them out with some food. You know, there's been a couple of times someone came along, we needed to give him a place to sleep. We actually rented a hotel room for him. But the fact is, he said, our public actions, you know, are priority to those who are hypocritical. Letter C, making a public position a top priority. We talked about that a little bit. Number four, new stuff. Here we go. We should finish this up tonight. I want us to talk about the scope of hypocrisy. How far does it reach? You know, when we think about hypocrisy, you know what the first thing we think is? Well, I'm going to say this and no one's going to know the difference. I'm going to do this and no one's going to know the difference. I can put on a good show and they'll never know that I'm not what I say that I am. First of all, God knows. He who made the eyes, can he see? He made the ears, can he not hear? He who knows all things, does he not know also our hearts? So we can't get out of God's sight. And by the way, that's the only sight that's really matters. If I'm right with him, I'll be right with you as the Lord wants me to be right. On the other hand, there's people who try to say, well, I tithe, I'm right with him. So sit down and shut up. Nah, you know what I'm saying? They're not. Listen, you're not right this way, you're not right that way either. We think we're right because we've given it back what owned to him. You see what I'm saying here? Now, the scope. The problem is hypocrisy doesn't just affect ourselves. This is very important. In fact, on Sunday morning, we went over to Lancaster Baptist Church, where the college is. Of course, the church where the kids got married was at Samantha's church. I'm going to call her Samantha for a little while, but everybody knows her as Sam. I can't hardly call her Sam Walsh. I had a cousin Sam Walsh, and it just doesn't feel right. But I'll get used to it. But Samantha, at their church about an hour away or a little bit more. But on Sunday morning we went over to Lancaster where Paul Chapel is, and we were sitting ready for the church service, and Mark Rasmussen came over and said howdy, and then he texted me and said, see if you can meet me for lunch. And then we got back there, Dr. Chapel. So we were back in Dr. Chapel's private dining room at the point they have there. It was him and his wife, and Mark Rasmussen, his wife, and Janet and I, and Sterl, and had a nice lunch. And we got to talking about some things, and I mentioned it to him. And he, in the context of our conversation, and he said, you know, we've got good kids. This is what he said. He says, I just don't quite understand. He said, we'll have good families go through our church, and then their kids go off the deep end. And I know they've all learned the same thing. And yet we've got families who are coming through here, and everything's doing, you know, you wouldn't really think about it, but the fact is, the kids turn out good and things are going well, and you think, he says, you just don't understand. And I've told him, and he agreed. There's two basic things there that I think makes a difference. One is there's the Cain and Abel issue. They came from the same parents, same household, but one was considered a man of God, Abel, and one was considered a murderer. But what was the difference? It wasn't the kids next door. There weren't any. It wasn't the public school. It wasn't the video games. What was the difference? Well, I think that was their own choice. There's a difference. Secondly, though, I think that if we talk one thing and really live another, that can cause, that's hypocrisy, and it can cause a child to throw the whole thing out because they're still trying to figure out, they don't know where to go with it. Well, mom and dad talk, and the fact is mom and dad may really believe it, but, you know, they talk a little bigger at church than they really are at home. They come down hard on their kids, and yet daddy can't give up his cigarettes. They tell the kids, behave! Stop yelling! And then you got some person who says, you know what, you got some website where I'm a survivor of an independent Baptist church. What do you mean I'm a survivor of an independent Baptist church? I'll tell you what. If it's real, the kids ought to feel it's real. If they're going to turn their back on it, they kind of have to walk all over the cross that we are carrying for the sake of Christ. We'd better live it. Now, the scope of hypocrisy. Letter A, hypocrisy produces deceptions. Deceptions. What do I mean by that? Traps for others to be swallowed up in, whether intentionally or unintentionally. Look what it says in verse 44. Jesus says to the Pharisees, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, actors, hypocrites." That's what it says. "For ye are as graves, which appear not, and the men that walk over them are not aware of them." This is almost like one of those crazy, and I wouldn't go to these either, some of these crazy horror movies. It's like walking through a cemetery in the middle of the night in the dark, and there's an open grave, and there's a couple limbs on the top of it, and you don't know it's there, and you walk right out there, and minding your own business, trying, just going on your way, never intended to get stuck in this mess, but somebody has dug a hole, and someone comes behind them and falls into it, and it's going to kill them. They're down in the muck and the mire with the rest of the dead. Listen, we've got to be careful. We don't dig ourselves into an unspiritual, unscriptural hole. And those who are coming behind us falling into that same old pit that we do. I tell you, the fact is, parents, you may think you have very little impact on your kids. But I'll guarantee you, even if they go roll their eyes and just, you know, and all this stuff, you go ahead and you keep loving them. You keep telling them how much you love them. You keep doing right. You don't let them talk you out of doing wrong, because if they could talk you into doing wrong instead of right, they're going to see, it didn't mean anything to you anyway. Well, I was just doing it for you. Don't do it for them. Do it for the Lord. And they'll see it. It's tough sometimes. Listen, when your kid says, "I hate you." Well, I love you. And that's not going to change. Soft answer turneth away wrath. At that point in time, listen, Dr. Hudson used to say, I don't know why I wouldn't say this, but he says, my wife can tell me one time in the day that she loves me, and an hour later tell me that she hates me and mean it both times. Just being funny. But the fact is, sometimes people say, listen, kids are dramatic. They're dramatic. And everything's traumatic. We've been there, but they're trying to figure out life. Have some compassion. Don't take it personally. That's a hard one. Even when they start picking at all your problems. Now, you do your best. If they picked on something that's real, then maybe you need to admit it, confess it, forsake it, and stop it. If they did, and by the way, hiding it, I said this to Dr. Chappell too. There are parents who say, well, if I admit that I'm wrong, I'm going to lose my authority in their life. No, you'll gain it. Listen, what if, I'll guarantee you, everybody in here has had a parent, oh, I shouldn't say that. It's possible not to. But there's been some time when your parent or some authority in your life did something and put you on a spot and they were wrong, 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 and they never admitted it. You feel it burning you right now? What if that exact person would come back to you today and said, you know that day when I reamed you out, I was wrong. I was wrong. I want you to forgive me. If you can't forgive me, I understand. But I want you to know I'm so sorry and I'm wrong. What if your mom or your dad said, you know what? I was wrong. I'm sorry, I was wrong. I'll tell you what, I don't think that their place in your eyes would go down. I think the level would go up. Same thing will go with the people that maybe you've wronged and those kids. You see, we're supposed to forgive. He says, listen, you give tithe. Well, listen, we go to church every week. When that door's open, we're there. We give our tithe. So sit up and act right. I mean, you're the preacher's kid. We can't go in there looking like that. Listen, I said, you got to look right because I'm the preacher. We never said that to our kids. Never. You do right because it's right. We've got this. If we're not careful, people are going to follow us right into the pit. People will follow someone that has made them believe that they're knowledgeable. And if we're leading them astray, we are leading them into a pit where they may never escape. People walk with the world, and when they find themselves that as Christians, they're really not real, and they walk with them, and it's going to be a mess. It's just going to be a mess. Let it be. Let me move on here. So it produces deceptions because we're acting like something we're not. And fact is, people get closer, they're going to see, you know what, if that looks real on the outside, but it's not real, so I guess Christianity is not real. It's all a show. Let it be. It propagates bad doctrine. It propagates bad doctrine. Verse 45, then answered one of the lawyers and said unto him, Master, thus saying, thou reproachest us also? And he said, woe unto you also, ye lawyers, for ye laden men with burdens grievous to be borne, and ye yourselves touched not the burden with one of your fingers. He said, you're going around telling everybody else what they're supposed to do, and the fact is, you're not doing it yourself. You say, you preach us that we're supposed to forgive, but there's this other preacher down the road here, and you're not willing to forgive him. You tell us the verse, we're all supposed to work together, but you're in competition with the preacher down here. I pick it on preachers. Should I pick on you too? We say that we love And then we come home and have preacher for dinner. Or have I'm not going to say you do that, because I don't know if anybody does that. Doesn't do it. Have a boss for dinner. Fricasseed, fried, baked, deep fried. Doesn't matter. Just roast them. You know, we could say, well, we got to get rid of our bad habits. But, you know, daddy's been smoking for, 35 years, and it's just not that easy. It just can't stop. Now, don't you drink. One of the things that bothers me the most, why is it when somebody turns 18, all of a sudden they can destroy themselves with alcohol and all kinds of stuff and lewd stuff and this and that and other thing, because now they're adult? Adult entertainment, adult this, adult that. You know what my wife says when a thing will come up before a TV show, it says, viewer discretion. She says, well, that means we can't watch it. That's right. If it's bad for your kids, it's bad for you. You wouldn't feed your kids poison, then why do you eat it? If you say, well, as soon as you get old enough, you can do it. There shouldn't be anything like that other than driving a car or something like that. Well, I just like to have a little wine with my dinner. Wine's a mocker and strong drink is raging. He deceived thereby is not wise. You know what wine mocker means? It's going to make a fool of you. Strong drink? Well, that's raging. Don't even get close to that stuff. And whosoever is deceived thereby, whoever swallows that lie is a fool. A fool. And by the way, people say, well, Jesus probably drank alcohol. Well, I know, speaking of wine, first of all, I'm sure some wine got a little punch to it sometimes along the way. But first of all, you know what we do with wine now? We put stuff in it to increase the alcohol content. They're making wine to do that. And wisdom hath mingled her wine. If you got to do it, then put a little bit in there to kill the germs in the water if you have to. But by that time, it's all done. It's not going to do anything to you. Stupid. You can get close to that stuff. There's no reason in the world you should ever get close to that stuff. So you know what happens when we're hypocrites? We get bad doctrine. We're teaching by our actions and our example. We're trying to teach by our words, but you know what? They are dropping like lead because our actions are teaching something totally different. Letter C. It promotes destructive deeds. It promotes destructive deeds. Verse 47, woe unto you, for ye build the sepulchres of the prophets, and your fathers killed them. Truly ye bear witness that ye allow the deeds of your fathers, for they indeed killed them, and ye build their sepulchres. So what's that mean? It means, he's talking about the prophets, like, the ones that they killed didn't want to hear anything about. The prophets spoke against their fathers, their ancestors. They spoke against what they were doing. So what did their ancestors do? They got rid of the prophets because they wanted to get rid of the word of God. See, the prophets tell us what God is thinking. The priests take us back to God. So that's the prophets tell us what God wants us to know. And so they didn't like to hear it. They're just as bad as the ones, the stoning of Stephen's, where it says they stopped their ears and yelled and then they stoned him. They didn't want to hear it. So they want to stop the word, but they still want to look like they're godly people. So they make a big to-do, they make a big sepulcher. They make a big shrine around these prophets. Now, the prophets were still alive, they'd be killing them themselves. But the fact is, they're trying to make it look like, well, we're godly people. Let me say this, and I hate to say this, but it's true. Hypocrites will rip up good, godly people in order to save face. And I'm going to pick on preachers here, but but make the application where it applies. They'll rip up good men of God in order to save face and not lose their position in the eyes of the public, or maybe even to gain position, maybe to maintain position or power among the religious folks. I hate to say it, you know, we're independent Baptist. That means there is no hierarchy. There's nobody over us telling us what to do. Amen. But I tell you what does happen. Men are still men. And men kind of get together in their little fellowships. And he got things going on and this and that and the other thing. And before long, it gets political. And they want to be seen as kind of the big wig in the movement. I led the singing for what was then called Southwide Baptist Fellowship, which was started by Lee Robertson way back. And this was back in around 94. And it blew up just not long after that. Now, they've reestablished it with some other men, and Lord willing, it'll work out fine. But Dr. Smith was the moderator. They would vote someone in to kind of run that big meeting. And, of course, he had me leading, singing, doing some special music, which is fine and dandy. We had it at a church, and this particular guy was really moving in another direction. And he was actually, I hate to say it, he was lobbying others to move this movement into another direction. He didn't like the fact that Dr. Smith had Curtis Hudson on to preach. And that's where Curtis Hudson preached his great message, Things That Are Not the Same, or the Things That Are Different Are Not the Same. One of the last messages at a big conference he preached, and we were there. And Dr. Smith told me, in fact, this particular church, the platform was really just almost looked like a stage, and actually had a theatrical curtain on it. And the two of them were supposed to come behind the curtain, the congregation out there, and the curtain was going to open, and they were going to come out. It sounded like Ernest Angley. Remember Ernest Angley? You know, that's what it kind of sounded like to me. It was the guy's church. It wasn't Dr. Smith's church. He said, okay, here we go. But apparently, 3 minutes before that curtain was opened, they were standing there nose to nose, toe to toe. And this guy was giving Dr. Smith a what for, because he had too many people that agreed with the sword of the Lord on there. Didn't have enough from the liberal side of the... Sound like politics down in Washington. What is it all about? God raises up whom he wants to raise up. We don't need to do that. Listen, your faithful little God will make you ruler over much. Verse 49, letter D here, destructive behavior. Therefore also said the wisdom of God, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they shall slay and persecute, and the blood of all the prophets which was shed from the foundation of the world may be required of this generation. From the blood of Abel and the blood of Zacharias, which perished between the altar and the temple, verily I say unto you, shall be required of this generation. They killed Zacharias right there, right outside the temple there, between the altar and the Holy of Holies. Murdered him in the name of God, because they wanted the power. They didn't like what he was going to say. But here's the deal. This is what it's saying. Let me say it. Hypocrisy can be a generational disease. Inherited, if you will. Many families have passed this down for generations and generations and generations. The church that I was talking about where that was held, about a year and a half later, that fellow's son who was on staff at that church came out as a homosexual. And so, instead of asking his son to resign, they changed the position on homosexuality in the church. This was an independent, so-called fundamental Baptist Church. Now, I don't hate homosexuals, but they're sinners, and it's a sin and needs to stop. And by the grace of God, they can. Well, I was born that way. We were all born sinners. Your sin just goes in a different direction. Because I like women, am I allowed to have every woman I want? Right? So because he likes men, he can have all the men he wants. It's almost like, well, as long as they won't get pregnant, it's okay. It's sin. Letter E. Hypocrisy prohibits discernment. Discernment. You know, when we play games and we act and we say this is true and then we do another thing, after a while it gets really confusing. And so, really, that's kind of what has happened. There's a lot of people who accuse the church, quote unquote, whatever that is, of believing this and believing that, and they just group the whole bunch of us in that same lump. And the fact is, you go into a group of Christians, if more of them are like this than not, even if it's a small church, just one church by itself, they're going to come in and say, this is what their church is. In fact, you know as well as I do, you could have done a lot of good things, but if you do one thing stupid, that's what hits the press. Well, I just slipped up once. I know. Well, then maybe you need to confess that you slipped up. This is more important that the people around you knows truth than for us to save face. If we messed up, we did it in front of our kids. We did it in front of our church. We did it in front of the neighbor next door. If we messed up, you know what we ought to do? We ought to go ask their forgiveness. Well, I didn't do it against them. Yeah, but you gave them a testimony of what a Christian is. That's a bad testimony. And you're giving them destructive decisions. They're not going to be able to discern what's right and wrong if all of a sudden we just kind of throw out the Word of God. And we're confusing them. We ought to, if we hurt one of these little ones, it'd be better if we had a millstone tied around us, we were thrown into the river. It'd be better to go home and be in heaven than to be confusing others and letting them drop into that pit behind us. And you know, they say, that's awful drastic. You get to go to heaven. There is no other place any better than heaven. All he's doing is getting us out of the way so we don't make a mess of a place. Verse 52, he says this, woe unto you lawyers, for ye have taken away the key of knowledge. In other words, you basically said truth is not truth. I mean, it's there, but that's not really the way you do it. For ye have taken away the key of knowledge, ye have entered not in yourselves, and them that were entering in ye hindered. And he said these things unto them. The scribes and the Pharisees began to urge him vehemently, to provoke him, speak of many things, laying wait for him and seeking to catch something out of his mouth that they might accuse him. They still don't get it. He's God. He's not going to say anything wrong. They still think he's man. They still think truth is up for grabs. Depends on which party is in power right now. That's not truth. Truth never changes. He says, listen, you won't go in yourself, but then you've got all this stuff going on, and the ones who actually are seeking, fill it with it all. I'm not going there. That's what it is. I don't want to have anything to do with it. Folks can have been so immersed into hypocritical religion that the older generation can push their traditions so hard on the younger generations that I think the younger folks are too intimidated to even consider truth when it contradicts traditions. Well, this is what we've always done. Almost done. I've told you this story before, but it's the one that hits my heart when I do this. I grew up, and I'm going to say it, in the United Methodist Church. And it's full of things that were fine and dandy, but then it became traditions, and the traditions became law. Even to the point where the traditions and the rituals were actually, they actually superseded the Bible. They started reading out of the book of discipline instead of the book of God. I know that. I saw it. And even more so than that, because I had never read the book of discipline, but I had grown up in it. So when I know you've heard me say this. So when my oldest, Sterl, was born in 1986, we had already left the Methodist Church. We had been visiting Open Doors since 81 or something, early 80s. We joined in 83. We had been there for a long time. I knew right. And when he was born, you know what the first thing thought that came to my mind as a good Christian Methodist boy? I got to get him sprinkled. Why? Because that's the right thing to do. I mean, I was honest. I was sincere. But the fact is, I knew it wasn't right. And I knew the Bible had nothing. There's no place in the Bible where they ever sprinkled a baby. Or anybody else, for that matter. By the way, the Catholic used to baptize by immersion until they drowned a few. They would baptize babies all the way under. And the baby, and they couldn't get it out fast enough. The baby died. So they started to sprinkle. Just saying. So that means you ought to be old enough to hold your own breath, huh? Make a decision to get baptized. I knew it. And I wasn't about to have him christened. But I still struggled. Because that's what I had been taught. Now, what I'm saying here, folks, there's a lot of things we can do in the name of God. Even kill Zacharias between the altar and the temple. There will come a day, the Bible, Jesus says, when they'll think they've done God a favor by killing you because you believe in Christ. We've got to make sure that we're not just acting the part. We are truly what we claim to be. Now, Sunday morning, Lord willing, I'm going to do another section on the Holy Spirit, but I'm going to finish up something this week, Lord willing, the week after that. I have something I'm going to talk about the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about change. You let the Holy Spirit really get control of you, it will change who you are. No, we're not going to be perfect. None of us are perfect. I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. Don't, you know, everybody take your halos off and come to church. But I don't want to make any more messes than necessary. Listen, I said some profound thing and everybody and didn't know that it was founded on that evolution. Didn't even think about it. I'm not going to do it again. Many leave the faith rather than seek the truth when those who claim truth are just riding the fence. They're more scared of the phonies than they are of having a real fear of God. And they'll even legitimize their belief and practice by how many others they have convinced to follow them. You know I'm not going to go into that, but people will do wrong. When the Pharisees got all together and Nicodemus says, you know, should we really judge Jesus before he's been tried, before we hear what he has to say? And they said, have you believed in this Jesus of Nazareth too? Does any of you guys believe? You know, peer pressure. If I can convince you, if I can get enough folks, I could teach heresy, but if I get enough folks to say amen, eventually we decide we're right. You think you're right because I told you you were right, and I think I'm right because you told me I'm right. Like a dog chasing his tail. And we think we're getting somewhere. And all we're doing is digging ourselves into a hole. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, it's tough. Whew. Lord, I thank you for your forgiveness and your grace. And Lord, if there's any place where we have failed to truly be real and transparent, Lord, bring it to our attention. Help us to see it. Help us to confess it and forsake it, because he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but you'll give us mercy. Lord, I pray that you'll bless us. Heads are bowed.